Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Abdul Nasser Jengda and you're listening to the Qalam podcast. Qalam is an organization dedicated to making Islamic knowledge accessible for everyone. Alhamdulillah, the month of Ramadan is a very beautiful and powerful opportunity for learning and spiritual growth in the life of a Muslim. Therefore, Qalam has put together amazing resources for you and your family, your community to benefit from in the month of Ramadan, from a webinar on how to prepare to recitation of the entire Quran, the meaning and the message of the whole Quran, the du'as from the Quran, special webinars and events in regards to the Battle of Badr, the last 10 nights and Laylatul Qadr, and so much more. We're very excited and happy to bring you all of this Ramadan programming. Be a part of the good work that we are doing at Qalam, educating Muslims, educating people all around the world by going to supportqalam.com. Donate, contribute, give generously, and have your share in the Sadaqa Jariya and the amazing work that is going on. Supportqalam, QALAM.com. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Jazakumullahu khair, brothers and sisters. Thank you so much for joining us for another one of our dua from the Quran sessions. This dua series is brought to you by Pinyapil USA. Since 2016, Pinyapil has been committed to fighting poverty and need. They have provided aid in the midst of emergencies, supported orphans, provided warm meals, helped give medical assistance, and provided clean water to families across Asia, the Middle East, Africa, and right here at home. Since then, Pinyapil USA has helped over a million people and empowered communities around the world to help break that cycle of poverty. This Ramadan, they will continue this effort, inshallah ta'ala, with the support of people like you, inshallah. So go over to their hashtag, You Are the Difference Ramadan campaign at pausa.org/qalam, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair. All right, bismillah, walhamdulillah. Thank you so much for joining me for another one of our sessions where we look at some du'as that are in the Quran. Alhamdulillah. One of the things that the Prophet ﷺ described as this ummah, as millati Ibrahim, the way of Abraham, the way of Abraham. In so many different du'as and in so many different occasions, the Prophet ﷺ was asked about the actions and the things that we do as Muslims. And the Prophet ﷺ simply explained it one way. He said, millati Ibrahim, this is the way of Abraham. As I mentioned before, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us so many adi'iyah, so many du'as and supplications on the tongues of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran. So when we start to study the lives of the prophets, when we start to read the Quran and study their lives, one of the major things we get from them are the du'as that they read. These du'as that they read, these supplications that they read, are a quick way for us to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because these are the du'as made by the select of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the anbiya, the prophets, may peace and blessings be upon all of them. These are the du'as that they made. And so what this does is when we study these du'as, when we learn these du'as, we begin to shift how we think. We begin to see how and what were priorities according to the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I think that's something very important for us, is to read these du'as and really look at what they felt was worth making du'a for, number one. And then number two, how to make du'a, right? How to make supplication and beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the du'a that I'm going to share with you today, inshallah, is the 40th verse of Surah Ibrahim. And in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Abraham made this du'a, رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي مُقِيمِ الصَّلَاةِ مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي رَبَّنَا وَتَقَبَّلْ دُعَائِي. Allahu Akbar. This is the du'a, a very short du'a, but a beautiful du'a nonetheless. Let's take a look at this du'a. Abraham makes this du'a, رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي, O my Lord, Oh my Lord, my Rabb, ija'alni muqim as-salah. Make me of those who establish the prayer in our lives, in my life. Make me of those who establish the prayer in my life. Imam Qurtubi, he says, what this means is someone who is persistent on the prayer and muhafidh of the prayer, a protector of the prayer. And notice that Abraham is teaching us in this dua, and Allah is telling us that he made this dua. He's teaching us to turn to Allah to help in our righteousness and piety. It is so important for us to remember that la malja wa la manja min Allahi illa ilay. That we go back to Allah, we ask Allah, we beg Allah for the tawfiq or the ability to do righteousness. And so this particular dua is teaching us that Abraham would make this dua, oh Allah, make me amongst those people who make salah a primary part of our lives. Make the salah a primary part of our lives. You know, alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah, it's been over 19 years or so since I converted. But one of the most amazing things that always, that brought me into Islam, that I found so beautiful, is how Muslims are constantly reestablishing that connection with Allah through the salah. Now, before, I remember in the days of Christianity, like we would always say, you know, praise, be someone who prays all day. Be someone who prays all the time. But the salah as Muslims is so different, because the salah is literally where we stop everything. It's literally where we put all of the dunya on hold and we lift our hands. Now, this is so significant. We lift our hands and as if we're putting it behind us, we say, the world is behind me. Allahu Akbar min kulli shay. Allahu Akbar. Allah is greater than everything. It's that moment to disconnect from the world so that we can connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we never ever lose focus. We never lose focus on what's really important in this world. You know, subhanAllah, when we're fasting, the hunger that you feel throughout the fast keeps reminding you that you're on the clock, so to speak. You know what I mean by on the clock, right? On the clock, you know, when you're at work and you get paid by the hour, you don't really care what you're doing because you're on the clock. It means you're working, right? You're getting paid for what you're doing. When you're fasting, you never forget that you're on the clock, because that hunger is there reminding you. And when you feel that hunger, hopefully what it does is it reminds you of an obligation and a love that we have for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah has given me so much. I want to worship Allah. I want to obey Allah. I want to show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala my gratitude. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would wake up in the middle of the night. And this is something, I know you may have heard this before, but I want you to hear it from a different perspective. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would wake up in the middle of the night, and he would be standing and standing and standing in prayer to the point where his ankles are swollen, his feet are swollen. He's putting himself through so much. And then Aisha radiallahu anha, she's like, your sins are forgiven, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Rasulullah, your sins are forgiven. Why are you doing this? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in these beautiful words, he completely shifts the paradigm. And he says, O Aisha, it's not about the sins being forgiven. It's not about what I owe Allah. It's about my love for Allah. He says what? He says, afala akun abdan shakura. Shall I not be a grateful servant? Look at what Allah has given me. Look at the blessings. Standing up in prayer is my connection to Allah. And the prayer truly, in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, let's look at it. Let's be real. In the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, إِذَا هَزَبَهُ أَمَرٌ, when anything bothered him, he ran straight to the prayer. When anything bothered him, he went straight to the prayer. SubhanAllah, unfortunate situation is that for many of us, when things bother us, that's when we forget to pray. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was quite different. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when anything bothered him, where would you find him? On his prayer rug in the corner, praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, establishing the salah. And the scholars have said, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given the Salah in Mi'raj and the ascension to the heavens, because he was given the Salah in the ascension, that the Salah is the ascension of each and every one of us, me and you. And the proof of that lies in a hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said, the closest you can ever be to Allah is when you're in prayer in sajda, with your face on the ground, and you're in prostration before Allah. This is the moment of complete munajat, complete intimacy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ju'ila qurrata ayni fi salah, the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah has given me the satisfaction. My true pleasure comes through the prayer. So this is something I think we should pray for this month. Turn to Allah this month. Ask Allah. Make this dua that you see on the screen. Let's look at it one more time up close. Make this dua. Allahumma ja'alni muqima salah. Make me someone, ya Allah, who is deeply connected to the prayer. It's not just about keeping up the prayers. The English here says, keep up with the prayers. I mean, yeah, it is about keeping up the prayers, but it's more about protecting your prayer. Even when you're in your prayer, your heart is praying, your mind is praying. This is the real establishment of the salah. I want to share something that's pretty cool. In the Quran, it's actually, subhanAllah, very beautiful. You know, in the Quran, there's a verse that speaks about what's called in Arabic, Salatul Khawf, or the prayer of fear. And it teaches how to pray. This verse teaches the Sahaba and the Prophet how to pray during warlike scenarios. So like even in the intensity of a battle, just imagine Allah is taught the Muslims how to even establish your prayer in that scenario. Well, in those verses, it talks about the Sahaba praying, but it also talks about the Prophet praying. And whenever it's talking about the companions praying, it always uses the word salla to pray. But whenever it mentions the Prophet, it uses the word iqama or muqim or establishment in this verse, the verse about the prayer of fear. And one of the scholars, the Mufassirin, they say, some of them, they mention that the reason why it's used different is because during war, the Sahaba, their prayer was at a little bit lower level than what it would have been at a normal time. But for the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it was always at that elevated place. He was always doing iqama, because iqama is higher than just praying. Iqama means it's established in my heart. It's established in my life. And so it's beautiful because it basically shows that even in that tough scenario, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's focus and concentration and peace and tranquility would still be there in the prayer. And so the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, "Ju'ilat qurrata ayni fi salah." And this is something we want to ask in this Ramadan, guys. We want to ask Allah, "Oh Allah, give me, please, I'm asking you, Ya Allah, make me someone who establishes the prayer within their lives, establishes the prayer in their mind when they're actually praying." Now the dua doesn't end there. There's more to this dua. Wa min dhurriyati. And oh Allah, make my progeny, make my children, make those who come after me also people who realize the importance of prayer in life. They say, you know, a family that prays together stays together. Allahu Akbar. It's pretty interesting that, you know, that the thing that binds us together is our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's important for us to make this dua and pass on that love for prayer to our children. Now, that doesn't mean commanding children to pray. Yeah, that's there, but I think there's something more important. When we teach children to love Allah, when we show children love of Allah, then that love is just passed on from heart to heart. And once love of Allah is passed on, love is what was pulling the Prophet ﷺ out of his bed to worship Allah in the middle of the night. That was love that motivated all of that. And so when we want to pass on prayer to our children, it's not just about get up and pray. It's time to pray. It's about Let's talk about what Allah has given us. It's about, let's think about who Allah is, what Allah has provided for us. Build love for Allah first in the hearts of children, and the actions will follow. But if you start with just the actions and you don't focus on the heart, then they'll be wondering, why am I doing this? Start with love. So the dua says what? Let's look at the dua up close again. رَبَّنَا اِجْعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَتِي رَبَّنَا. And finally, this dua ends. رَبَّنَا وَتَقَبَّلْ دُعَى. Oh Allah, accept my dua, accept my prayers. You know, if a person establishes the prayer, and sometimes when you're really on your game and you got all your prayers up, you got all your dhikr going, you got your Quran going, something that can sneak into the heart of the Muslim is ujub, a bit of conceit, a bit of vanity. You know, I'm doing my thing. I got this. Well, the Prophet Abraham teaches us how to humble ourselves. And the humbling aspect of all of this is asking Allah to accept your ibadah. Don't think just because you prayed, oh, that's it. That's my ticket to Jannah. No, part of the role of the believer is to be humble. And that means we ask Allah, oh Allah, you allowed me to do this action. Please accept it from me. You don't, why? There's so many things I didn't do properly. There's maybe things I overlooked. There are moments I wasn't even thinking while I was praying. I was just daydreaming, whatever it may be. Oh Allah, please accept this from me. Oh Allah, please accept this from me. And this is something deep in the blood of Abraham. He makes this dua so much. رَبَّنَا وَتَقَبَّلْ دُعَى. So many, رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. So many places we find Abraham saying, oh Allah, please accept from me. You know, I'm going to end with this. This is rather important. You know, a lot of times we make dua, oh Allah, allow me to do the work of deen. Like, allow me to serve your religion. Allow me to help Islam. Use me to help the deen. And I think that's a great dua, but there's something that needs to be added to that. Oh Allah, allow me to do the work of your deen and accept it from me. Now you may say, wait, why put that on there? Well, there's a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ where he says, and it's a very scary hadith, but it's an eye-opening hadith. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيُؤَيِّدُ هَذَا الدِّينَ بِرَجُلٍ فَاجِرٍ. It may be the case that Allah will help the religion on the hands of a very sinful person, a very transgressive person. That's a scary hadith, because what it means is, just because you're doing the work of the deen doesn't mean that it's accepted. You have to ask Allah, beg Allah, please, Ya Allah, I did this for you, Ya Allah. I don't deserve to even have the ability to do this, but Ya Allah, please, I'm begging you, accept it from me. So that's the dua, three things here. Let's focus on these three things. First dua is for us to be attached to the prayer. The second dua is for us to pass that on to our children. Ya Allah, put that your love in my children's heart and give them the ability to establish the prayer. And number three, oh Allah, whatever righteousness we do, whatever du'as we make in this Ramadan, in general, oh Allah, accept it from us, please, Ya Allah. Please accept it from me. That's such a beautiful combination there. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who establish the prayer. May Allah pass on the love of Allah into our hearts and into our children's hearts. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those people who always beg Him to accept our dua, our ibadah, and not people who, after they do ibadah, worship, they feel proud. Oh, look what I did. No. Be humble. Ya Allah, I did this by your tawfiq, your blessing. But Ya Allah, I ask you, please accept it from me. Please accept it from me. Who knows? One accepted dua can be the thing that gains us Jannah. That's it. One accepted La ilaha illallah, one accepted prayer, that could be the thing that gets us Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept brothers and sisters from us all. Thank you so much for joining me. Inshallah, we'll see you in the upcoming sessions. Thank you for letting Qalam be a part of your Ramadan. Don't forget to support Qalam too, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khair. Wa akhiru da'wana. Anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.